rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than halls his or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that your hungering spirit needs. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than this world affords today.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember. But a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Beyond the sunset, O blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun, earth's toiling ended, all glorious dawning. Beyond the sunset, sunset, no clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears annoy. O day of gladness, O day unending, beyond the sunset, the sunset, a hand will guide me to God the Father, whom I adore. His glorious presence, his words of welcome will be my portion on that fair shore. Beyond the sunset, O glad reunion, with our dear loved ones who've gone before. In that fair homeland, we'll know no sunset forever.
the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. The battlefield. It is a battlefield. This life, this Christian life, walking with God in this wicked world is a battlefield. You know something? It's interesting to me, and a lot of people don't know this, even people from our church, because I don't think I ever told them. But this young man right here, that this is from a preaching video back in 2019 at the Defeat of Jesse James days. This was in Northfield here, preaching. Northfield's one of the hardest places in the world. That's where God put this church, in one of the hardest places ever. Hardened hearts. You know, there's been street preachers that have preached all over the world, all over the country, all over everywhere, and preachers, evangelists that have come to this town and said, I've never seen anything harder than Northfield, Minnesota. It is the craziest place to preach. And it's interesting to me that when I first started this bus route here years ago, before I started pastoring a church here, this young man was a little boy. This young man right here, I'm not going to show his face here, but this young man right here was a little boy. And he came to our church as a little boy. He came to our Bible study, his mother did. And he came on our bus route, and we picked him up and took him to church. And now he's obviously not followed the Lord and gone the way of the world and everything else. But I thought it was interesting that, and I see his mother from time to time in town and everything else. But right here, I think about this young man here, and I remember that this young man, he came on our bus route. He came with us and heard the gospel preached at a very young age, and now he's into drugs and dope and running around and everything else. But I remembered who that kid was, and I think I must have forgotten that or something. But that's who he is. And I'm fairly certain that's exactly who he is. But anyway, you know, I don't remember. My wife's asking me his name, and I don't remember, but But his mother, we used to pick her up at the apartments. And they were over there at the apartments when we ran the bus route there, and we would pick him up over there. But anyway, I can't remember her name or his name right this time. But anyway, I know that that's what happened, actually. So anyway, I'm fairly certain that's who he is. But, you know, life is funny, isn't it? You know, as I followed the Lord, as God saved my soul and changed me and made me, you know, a new creature in Christ years ago, and my brother and my family went the opposite direction. Yep, that's it, Hannah. That was her name. That's right. Anyway, so, you know, it really is fascinating what's going on in our world today, and I don't know how much we'll have time to do everything. Man, I have just had a busy schedule. I don't know what, you know, I'm not preaching on the streets as much as I was last year. Last year at this time, we would have been preaching on Halloween every weekend up until Halloween. We would be busy from the 1st of October all the way into, actually, we'd be busy from September, the first week of September, was Labor Day weekend, was the end of the summer and the state fair, where we had preached to thousands of people, handed out 17,000 tracts last year in the month of September. Then we would go from that to the Defeat of Jesse James days, where 10,000 were handed out at the fair, 7,000 tracts handed out, and the gospel preached to thousands upon thousands of people at the state fair and at the Defeat of Jesse James days. Of course, COVID killed all that. And COVID just put an end to all that. But so there's no events around. There's nothing going on. Well, then in October, we would hit October. And then during October, we would preach, and we've done this for years, we would preach all the Halloween events. Anoka, Minnesota, show you this here. Anoka, Minnesota is the Halloween capital of the world. And, you know, I don't know what they're having going on there. Let's see. Next house decorating contest, public viewing. Yeah. They're not really doing any parades, it doesn't look like. Let's see if they're going to do the Grand Day Parade. Due to COVID, this event has been reorganized. Please review our events page. So you see, we used to go here and there was like thousands of people. And maybe, Jacob, we need to check this out. If you're online right now, Jacob, listen. Maybe we need to check this out, or Ryan. I don't know if you are, or Erica, if you're listening. Send this over to Ryan and we'll see if there's anything going on next, this parade. I don't know if this parade already happened. Let me see. When was that supposed to be? Rules for parade. Grand Day and light up the night parade. No political groups or political campaigning allowed. Except us, because we're not political. We're preachers. And we go there anyway, even though they don't want us there. People say, you should only go where people want you. They don't want preachers anywhere. See, I don't know when this parade is. I got to look. When's this light up the night parade going on here, huh? Maybe we already missed it. Anyway, we used to go to these places. And we would preach to thousands of people. And it wasn't that long ago. It was just last year. But it feels like it's been forever just because, you know, we haven't been able to go. So, you know, they've canceled everything, all these events. Let's view all the events. Okay. October 31st, that's Sunday. We're definitely not going to make that. We're going to be in church. That's the Grand Day Parade. I don't know when the night of parade was. I must have missed that one. That's the Grand Day Parade there. Look at that. Anyway, so October was such a busy month with that. I'm busy with all these other things that I'm doing. I'm getting ready to go hunting, so I had to get a bunch of stuff for hunting and get ready for that and sight my gun, my black powder rifle in. I like to shoot black powder, and I had to get that sighted in. And do all that fun stuff. So we had to do that. And it's just, it's really been a hectic time. So that, but we're not getting to preach as much as we did before, which is sad in that sense, because there's nobody out anywhere. You know, they're just, COVID has killed it. COVID killed Halloween, man, which, you know, that's like a catch 22. Should I really be sad about that? Because we don't support or celebrate Halloween. So, you know, obviously, you know, we're not too sad about that, but we know the world's going to be the world either way. So we definitely like to preach to as many people as we can out there, because we know they're doing evil. Now they're just going to do the evil in their houses where we can't get to them, right? So anyway, we have to continue on but see, they're still doing the evil. They're not going to stop doing evil. They're just going to do it in private parties and houses and all that where we can't get to them. So anyway, it's just been such an adjustment for us as a church, not being out there preaching like we normally do. You know, not being out there hitting the ground running with everything, because there's really nobody around, and the colder it gets. So we end up, to get a crowd, we end up having to go to Minneapolis, where it's a very dangerous place to preach. COVID's killed evangelism, a lot of public evangelism. You know, it's killed a lot. But thank God that I'm still able to broadcast and do the things that, you know, that the Lord has called me to do and everything else like that. But we're not being able to get out as much like we'd like to. Because really, I mean, you can't take a bunch of guys and go 2 hours and drive up to the cities. I mean, by the time you pick everybody up and, you know, kind of get it all worked out, by the time you get up there, you got to get up there early, and guys work hard in this church and they're busy, and we do our best to, you know, to do what we can. So it's an interesting situation, you know. It's an interesting dynamic that we face this year, but that's okay. God's used it, and, you know, God's used it for His glory, and our church has gotten stronger, and we thank God for that. You know, we really do. We're blessed by it, for sure, by all that the Lord allows to happen and come our way. But it certainly is a interesting state of affairs, to say the least. The impact that it's had on you know, on churches and people in general. And we're going to get into that today. And just a, you know, a personal, I'll give you a personal example of that as well as everything else. But one of those, I guess I could say, COVID's killed public evangelism a lot. Not completely and entirely, but it's killed a lot of it. You know, it's killed a lot of public evangelism. People are less apt to talk to you. They well, in some cases. Now, sometimes we can have some good conversations. You know, but for the most part, COVID's done a lot of killing of evangelism out on the street and getting out there and preaching the word of God and people just being around. But we've went to the hardest of the hard. God sent us, you know, down there to, God has sent us down there to Minneapolis. And boy, I'll tell you, it's dark down there. It's really dark down there. It's a scary place. It really is. Satan's having his way down there big time. You know, he is. Satan's having his way down there. It's wicked. Very wicked down there. You know, we showed you the videos from here. We showed you Antifa. You know, we showed you this video before. And, you know, this is the stuff that we're facing. When we go out now, there's such a strong spirit of Antichrist. And well, you got to understand something, though, but when you do public evangelism and you practice public evangelism and you're preaching in the open air, it does change a lot. I mean, for somebody to say that COVID hasn't changed anything, that's not true. I mean, I could tell you last year we handed out 17,000 tracts in the space of 2 weeks' time. And we haven't done 17,000 tracts the entire year this year. In fact, I don't even know. I don't know if Ryan or Eric is listening, but Ryan could give us a total, and it's very low. And just the outreach has been affected greatly. You know, so it has been quite the adjustment. You know, and as far as my family goes, no, we haven't been impacted as a family that much because we homeschool our children. And I mean, we don't really go a lot of places anyway. Well, usually I do like to take the children to science museums and to I do like to take them to historical museums. I do like to show them things like that and to teach them about history and things of that nature. And that stuff has been completely closed up, you know, closed off. You know, in that sense, most of that has been. Older folks. You know, the impact on older people is terrible. You know, the impact on older people has been awful. COVID's killed a lot of relationships. It's brought the closest that people have together. It's separated them and brought them apart. People being scared to go around other people. Scaring people half to death. And it's being designed to, a lot of it's propaganda that's being designed to do it. You know, a lot of it is. I mean, it's not a game. It's damaged a lot of people's lives in that sense. You know, but people's relationships have been affected. People are afraid to go around to other people. Yeah, and let's talk about nursing homes a bit. Let's be real here. Let's talk about, I want to talk about the effect on nursing homes. In Canada, 81% of COVID-19 deaths here at nursing homes, according to July 1st, it was, are related, nursing home related, double the average global rates, both shocking and avoidable. 80% of all COVID deaths in Canada, long-term care facilities. 42%. You know, think about that. What's the effect that it has on them? Well, let me give you an example. Basically, they're locking these people down. They don't get to see their family. I can give you two accounts that I know of. One is my handicapped stepsister, mentally handicapped stepsister. She has to live in a home due to her mental faculties. My parents are too old to take care of her. She's in her late 40s. And there's just a lot of things that go into it that make it impossible that my parents couldn't take care of her, and neither could I, for matter of fact, because of my children and just different things. You just, different things, hard to explain, but nothing that needs to go into. But anyway, think about this for a second, okay? So my sister was literally locked up in this place. And she was locked up for like 4 months. They wouldn't let her go out and do anything. She had to stay there. She couldn't see my dad. Eventually, they let him FaceTime. And they were all surprised that, like, my sister went into a deep and dark depression. As a mentally handicapped person, she suffered from alcohol fetal syndrome at her birth. But she went into complete depression. I mean, it makes them want to die. They don't want to even live. You cut them off from all their family. You cut them off from all the people. You scare them half to death. I have another family member. I can give you another testimony of it. Older one. Very old woman. I won't even say the relationship, but a very old woman. Been pretty much locked away from children and grandchildren. Basically gotten so bad that she herself just shuts the phone up, tells the workers to tell her she doesn't want to talk to anybody if they call. Why? She's not eating. She eats every couple days now. She's 91 years old. It's COVID. COVID's killing her and she doesn't even have it. It's the psychological warfare that goes along with it. See, Trump had one thing right when he said the cure can't be worse than the disease. And he mentioned depression and everything. And he's right. Because the cure should not be worse than the actual disease. It shouldn't be. But it is. And I have another situation. I have an aunt who's 80 years old, 83 years old, 82 years old. She had to be in an assistant. She had to be in a nursing home because she has dementia. And in the middle of the night, you can't sleep because she'll unlock the door, walk outside, and freeze to death. If she's not in a secured, locked facility, she'll be up all night walking around. She didn't have a husband to take care of her and had no children. My mom tried to take care of her as long as she could, my mom and dad, but it just didn't work. Without having children that can constantly take care of them, it's very hard. So my aunt's been over at that nursing home, and for the longest time, they didn't let anybody see him for like 3 months. Got another family member, a grandma, and can see very plainly that separated from the family, more doesn't really get a lot of visitors through COVID at all. Didn't want a lot of visitors through COVID. The place that she lived and all that stuff. Same thing. What's it do? Sends them into depression. Why? Because you're meant to have human contact. You're meant to have people around you. God made us to be with other people. God didn't make us to be hermits. But they know if they can isolate and turn all your contact That's right. Pilgrim Lady, when your father died, they did the same thing. Separated the family off because of COVID. Didn't let him see him. But boy, for George Floyd's funeral, they could have thousands in the streets. See, COVID's killing a lot of people. Some of it's soft killing, some of it's hard killing from the disease. But the soft kill is worse than the hard kill, really. It's killing them. It's aging them. You have 80 and 90-year-old people that have been through even the Spanish flu when they were young babies and young children, and they conquered that. But here they've been quarantined off from everybody they've ever known, locked up in like a cage somewhere. Well, I'm gonna tell you what. If one of my loved ones goes down like that, they're gonna have to lock me out, because I'm going in there no matter what. So this is all there is to it. What you have though is, and it's heartless and cruel. It's basically heartless and cruel. So I'm reminded of a text. Proverbs 30. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed away, washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Let's see, I'm looking for a... Here it is. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. It's this Antichrist, lawlessness, and chaos. See, you create enough chaos and you can produce what you want. People will beg for a cure, right? So, create the chaos and people will beg for the law and order. See that? Create enough chaos with sickness and then you can provide the cure. But you manufactured the whole thing, right? In Minnesota, let's see. See if they tell us here. I know Dr. Scott Jensen did, but I couldn't find his. Deaths of COVID tied to one nursing home in Minnesota. Of the people whose deaths were announced Tuesday, two were in their 90s, four were in their 80s, two were in their 60s, and one was in their 50s. Six of the nine deaths announced Tuesday were among residents in long-term care facilities. Look, of the 1,393 COVID deaths reported in Minnesota, by the way, this is in June 23rd, 2020. Look at this. 1,101 have been residents of long-term care. 90% of our people dying are in nursing homes that you already have locked up. So you want to lock us all up. Why? So you can kill us like you did them? You stupid fools. But then you just get mad at the messenger, right? Hey, you're governing and nurses and governing authorities and health department and everything else and all these things that run these nursing homes? 1,100 out of the 1,393 are from nursing homes? Which is a locked up facility? That's the greatest lockdown besides a prison itself? And you couldn't keep them safe there? See, if COVID doesn't kill them in the nursing home from directly, It kills their spirit. I've preached this verse to you before. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? If you can wound a man in his spirit, anything can kill him. Joshua told me a story that one of his professors told him about one of her patients that went to a doctor, didn't get a second opinion, but went to a doctor and said they had cancer and they had 3 months to live. The person died 3 months to the day. They did an autopsy on the person's body. There was no cancer in their body at all. That person died from the power of influence and perception. I can tell you for me, my own self, that I've had a wounded spirit before. I've been depressed, had anxiety, and still have it, by the way, but it doesn't have me. Amen. Thank God. But let me tell you something, though. I understand that wounded spirit and what that can do. I know what that does to people. It devastates them. I've seen it. I know what it did to me. Man, I've lost in the last 3 months, I've lost 33 pounds, over 33 pounds. Sorry about the number 33. It's just where I'm at right now. And it's in a good way. It's good, though. Let me see what I started at, and I'll tell you. Yep, 33.2 pounds. So, and I feel good. And the Lord's blessed, and my health is good, and my mind and everything, the Lord's really blessed. And I thank God for it. But I'm telling you, I understand what a wounded spirit can do to somebody. It'll kill them. You know, people with depression, Deborah, you need to take things into your own hands and you need to find a healthy way to combat that. I would suggest looking up herbdoc.com and look up Dr. Schultz. Dr. Schultz is, I'll show you what I would do if I was you. I'd do it right now, too. Let's see. See if I can find it. Here it is. I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV either or on the internet. But I'll tell you what, this is what I would do if I was you. 30-day detox program. It's exactly what I would do if I was you. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do right there. I would get a hold of him, herbdoc.com. I would get a hold of that, and I would do this 30-day. Yep. It's exactly what I would do if I was you. I wouldn't trust any doctor, and I wouldn't depend on any doctor. I'd do that right there. And I know these things work, too, because I got people in this church that have done them. And I've done a ton of these. Bowel cleanses and different things. And that's what I would do right there. And I wouldn't roll over and die. That's what I wouldn't do. I'd fight like the third squirrel trying to get on the ark before the flood's coming. Before Noah shut the door. For God shut the door. That's exactly what I'd do. But anyway, a wounded spirit. If you can wound a man in his spirit, if you can wound a woman in their spirit, they'll give up all hope. You got to change the diet, though. The diet is key. If you don't change the diet, nothing else works. If you don't take in what kills you, it won't kill you as easy. You can't take in the bad stuff. You got to take in good stuff. Show you something else here. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred. These people, COVID's killing these people, but it's the cure for COVID that's killing them. It's the isolation from people. God never meant us to be isolated from one another. That's why the entire New Testament preaches the New Testament Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It preaches the communion of the Holy Ghost. It preaches the saints to live for God and to serve them. It preaches the saints to dwell together. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended from the mount upon the mount of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God meant us to be together. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, till we all come together in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, COVID's being used to separate people. And these people are becoming wounded in their spirits and they want to give up. You know, I think it was probably a lot like the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. Only Luke is with me now. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul was alone. Only Luke was with him. Paul was by himself. I am sure that Paul, at the end of his life, when he says this in by the way, Spurgeon talks about this also. Hang on one second. I'll be right back. All right. I'm back. Sorry about that. I had to grab something. This is a really good book. Now, I don't agree with everything that is said in here. There's a few quotes from some ecumenical people, but this is a really good book. It's called Bright Days, Dark Nights, with C.H. Spurgeon. And in this book, he talks about the Apostle Paul. She takes the quotes from Spurgeon. Basically, the whole book, most of it has a little bit of psychology in it, but not a whole lot. Nothing damaging. But in this book, she talks about, she gathers Spurgeon's notes, basically. She gathers his sermons. Deals with the topics include, and I thought it was very good. I read it a couple months ago. Body, mind, and spirit, confidence, depression, anxiety, loneliness, change, transition. Those are all times of bright days and dark nights. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Deborah, I want you to email my wife, and I'm going to send you a copy of this, okay? I'm going to send you a copy of this book, Bright Days and Dark Nights. So get your address over to... get your address over to Hannah or send it to me at PastorCooley@iCloud.com. Either way, send your address to us, okay? And we'll mail you this book, okay, as a gift from us. And I want you to read it. I think it'll be a blessing to you. We'll send you one of those. And then there was somebody else I wanted to send this to, and I don't see her on here, but it's Chain Break. I think that's her name, or Break Chain, or Chain Break. I want to send her this copy of this book if she doesn't have it also. So if you see her on here, or you get in touch with her, have her, if you hear from her, have her message me her address, and I'll send that to her too, okay? These are some good books that'll help some people. And I thought about her father and what she's going through with her dad right now and everything. And you know, we'll send it, or them. Yeah. So, anyway, I'd like to send those two out. So send me your address and we'll get those out to you. And, all right. Cause I think they might be a blessing to you. So you let us know, Deborah, and I'll send you another one too. I'll send you, Sympathies of Christ. I want you to read it though. I want you to read it. Sympathies of Christ. I will send you one of those. Also with that, Deborah, do some reading. That'll help your mind and your heart to do some good reading and keep your mind focused on the things that... Teresa, you can order it. I only have two copies here and then my copy that I have all highlighted up. But I think, or did I buy that digitally? I can't remember. But anyway, I'll send those two out, and I don't have any more of those books, but that's I want to send these two out. Yep. So, Sympathy of Christ, I'll send that. I've got some extra copies of that as well. If I had an extra one, Teresa, I'd send it to you, but I don't have any more of those. A brother in the church buys me books and then buys some extra copies for others. And I like to give books away and, you know, try to be a blessing to others as well. So, amen. So we'll try. I'll see, Teresa, if I have any more of those. I don't think I do. I don't think I do. But I don't remember. Anyway, the name of it is called Bright Days, Dark Nights with Charles Spurgeon. In Triumph Over Emotional Pain. But you have people that are absolutely lonely. And their spirits are wounded. And you know what? A cold can kill a wounded spirit. Loneliness and a cold can definitely kill a wounded spirit, especially older folks, you know. It just can. God never meant for us to be alone. I think of Jesus when he was alone. And what happened to him? You know, I think about that. That's when Satan comes to attack you, is when you're alone. Don't ever be surprised. Don't ever be surprised when you're alone and the devil attacks you. Don't be shocked by that. That's when Satan usually attacks your mind, is when nobody's around. That's when he usually does. And you get a wounded spirit. You know, Paul is talking. There's a chapter in this book. That's why I was talking about this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, Paul is by himself here at the end. Let's see if it's... I like this. I'll read this part to you. Grief of mind is harder to bear than pain of body. The old man sitting in the damp prison cell is truly alone. Winter is coming on and he is without a coat. Remember Paul asked Timothy to bring him his cloak? He was cold. He is a prominent Christian. Still, no throngs stand at the prison gate demanding his release. He is a leader of leaders, but no witnesses come to his trial to vouch for his innocence. He is a scholar, yet he has no books. His name has once been popular, his needs met. He has known the comfort of a wife who has been gone for a long time now. He has enjoyed the closest of friendship, yet now he is alone in prison for his faith. Nearby, there is a group of believers, a group to whom he has often preached. Surely someone there has a coat and books. Surely someone will at least visit him and even defend him. But only one person comes, an old friend who has remained loyal. The old man writes a letter to a younger man, whom he has mentored. Can you bring me my coat, he implores, and my books, and can you come quickly, for winter is coming soon. The letter carried on the back of an animal starts on its 600-mile journey. It will not be delivered soon. In a few short months, the old man will be dead, killed as a martyr for his faith, while those of his own faith a few miles away do nothing. Will his young friend come in time? What is wrong with this man's faith, you may ask? Can he not trust God enough to be delivered? Furthermore, what is cold weather in a lonely cell to one who walks with God? More than that, surely he must have failed, if even those who believe, as he does, do not come to his aid. Surely a mature Christian would not have gotten himself into such a mess. Perhaps he should repent so that God could rescue him and the church support him once again. But rather than repent, he cries out triumphantly, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. For the old man is none other than Paul the Apostle, the leader of the first century church. You know, it's interesting. That's how she starts this book out of Spurgeon's quote. She takes Spurgeon's quote of the Apostle Paul. And if you look at Paul's life, you know, Paul suffered greatly. I'll show you something here. When God saved Paul, when he called him, he said, But the Lord said to me, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was appointed unto suffering as our Lord Jesus Christ was, as you and I are. You know, in my life, I used to think, you know, and I've always prayed to be used of God, that God would bless me, use me, make me more like Christ, strengthen me, and help me to reach others for the Lord, and all those things. And really what the Lord showed me is, I will, but it won't be how you envision it. You envision doing great things for God, but not suffering greatly for his name. there's always such a glamorous look sometimes, or thoughts in our mind about serving God and how that's going to look. But really, God does it in such a way, when God uses a man, he does it in such a way that they're not able to brag or glory in themselves. They might glory in their infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon them, but they won't glory in themselves. They'll glory in the Lord. And that's what God did to me. He showed me that I'll use you, but I'm going to use you in such a way that you won't be able to be lifted up. So after he brought me through many things, he showed me, yeah, I'll use you more than you ever can imagine, but it won't be the way you think. It won't be the design that you have in your mind. So that, anyway, that has to do with Paul. I don't want to get off the Apostle Paul. I don't want to get off on the main thrust of everything, but the truth is, here's a man alone sitting by himself. And that's when Satan comes to attack you. Is when you're alone. When discouragement and depression comes in. And COVID is killing people through depression. Just look at this. Depression triples in U.S. adults amid COVID-19. Depression, the COVID-19 has tripled the rate of depression in the U.S. adults in all demographic groups, especially in those with financial worries, and the rise is much higher than after previous major traumatic events. Led by researchers from Boston University, the study involved data from 1,441 respondents to a COVID-19 life stressors impact on mental health and well-being survey, which was conducted March 31st to April 13th, when 96% of the country was under coronavirus-related lockdowns. 27.8% of adults reported depression symptoms, in contrast with 8.5% before the pandemic. That's a lot. Women were more likely to have depression symptoms before and during the pandemic than men. 10% of women and 6.9% of men before the pandemic, 22% of women and 21.9%, which is basically 22% of men. Asians experienced an 18% higher prevalence to depression symptoms during the pandemic than they did before. Respondents who were married had an 18.3% rate of depression symptoms, compared with 31.5% in those who were widowed. Why? They're by themselves. Divorced or separated, 39.8% who never married. They're alone. I think it may be Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, the verse I'm thinking of. Let's see here. Let's see, I'll look for it here. Here it is, right here. Ephesians 4:9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. See, so COVID has done, the response to COVID has killed more people than COVID has, I guarantee you. That's the case. I thank God for my wife. Thank God that he gave me a wife. As I curled up to her last night and went to sleep, I thank God that I'm not alone. But COVID's killed more. COVID's done more damage. The responses to it, the devil using it, spirits using it, using the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The sound mind comes from the mind of Christ. That's where your sound mind comes from. It doesn't come from your flesh. It doesn't come from your mind. It comes from Christ's mind. Respondents with lower incomes were 2 to 2.4 times more likely than their peers to report depression symptoms, while those with less than 5,000 in savings were 1.5 times more likely, and those with higher number of stressors were 3.1 times more likely. The authors noted that depression rates no more than doubled after previous large-scale traumatic events such as 9/11, terrorist attacks, and Ebola outbreaks. They called for policymakers to work to reduce the effects of COVID-19 stressors such as extending eviction moratoria, providing universal health insurance not tied to employment, and helping people who can return to work safely. Well, I don't believe in that universal health care stuff because half the drugs and the dope they want to stick people on leads them to kill each other and kill themselves. Right? Like Alex Jones says, murder, mass suicide pills! And he's right, that's what they are. It's exactly what they are. Exactly what they do. You know, most of the people couldn't even go to the doctor. I know people personally that had conditions that the doctors told them not to come in and didn't treat them, and their conditions got significantly worse. I can tell you that by eyewitness experience. Eyewitness experience. So Mayo Clinic, $3 billion in the hole this year. Why? Well, you shut it all down for COVID, and nobody came in for COVID. And you told people to stay home for COVID. Think about the women having babies and trying to lock their husbands out and telling them, well, if you come in, you can't come back. Well, do you doctors go home or do you live at the hospital? Do you nurses go home or do you live at the hospital all day? So if you can go home and see your families, why can't I go home and see mine and come back again? Duh! Did anybody think, duh! You people are a bunch of liars! Well, do you all live at the hospital? Do you have all your, is your residence at the hospital? Do you all sleep there? Do you all live there? Oh, you don't? You mean you go home every night? Oh, okay, so will I too. And you all come back? Okay, well, I will too. And when you tell those doctors, by the way, I've had people in this church tell doctors and nurses that, and they don't know what to say. Like, they don't know how to respond to them. They're like, well, we're just used to everybody being sheeple. And no one's ever asked this before. I never thought about me going home and coming back every day. I thought about you doing it, loser. You're the loser. Do what you're told, loser. We're God and you need us. See me white coat? See me fancy slippers? Nobody likes that when you just give them plain truth back. People get mad at me. They don't like it when I'm just completely 100% logical with them. They don't like that. Because that's logical, right? See, COVID's killed more people by depression. It's a disease, all right. It's the spirit of fear. That's what it is. These poor elderly people. I mean, I don't even need to make the case anymore because everybody knows. I just show you my state. 90% of the people that died with COVID were in nursing homes that were supposed to be protected facilities that you had locked down. Right? Oh, that didn't work out very well, now did it? Guess not. But what's it done? COVID's done a lot of damage to people. COVID's done a lot of damage to people in their social skills. It's killed kindness in people. Kindness has been traded for absolute fear and a false kindness. What do I mean? Well, what has it done in people? Well, it's made everybody look at everybody like they're the enemy. The other day, I was in a care facility, not because I'm sick or anything, but I'm not going to get into where it is because I don't want anybody to give them a hard time. But I don't care if my doctor wears a mask. But my doctor sneezed and he was almost terrified because he didn't have a mask on, and I didn't want him to have a mask on. He knows I don't want him to have a mask on because I'm not worried about it. But he sneezed because he has allergies, and it was like the fear, the look of fear over his face, as if somebody's going to think that he has COVID. And he's a good man too. This is no reflection on who he is. I'm just telling you, that's what they're doing to people. These people are just like afraid. You go into the store and if you don't, I can't wear those masks. I could put one over my mouth, but I can't put it over my nose and my mouth. It restricts my breathing. I could feel it in my back and in my lungs. I can't wear those things. I don't know. I just can't wear them. But anyway, I have a shield that I wear, a little face shield, if I have to go someplace. And it catches all the spit, and that's fine. But a few times I haven't had it, and I've ran into the store. And I've had ladies literally jump on me. I've had ladies jump on me. Not physically, thank God. I had a lady chew me out one time. I was standing in line. and picking up some groceries, and she goes, all of you have health conditions? All of you aren't wearing masks? And I wouldn't have said anything if she didn't say anything to me. And then she just kept, like, going off on me and railing on me. And I was like, look, lady. And I told her flat out, you don't know if I have a medical condition or not. You don't know if any of us have one. You don't know anything about us. And quite frankly, it's none of your business. And then her husband was like all hiding out, being all mealy-mouthed and hiding out. And then he popped his head up at the end. And I just looked at him and said, you know, why don't you tell your wife to quit arguing? Why don't you be a man and tell your wife to quit arguing with men? Man, did he get mad. By the way, Fauci's the one that brought on the AIDS epidemic too, just so you know. Fauci brought on the AIDS epidemic, and he brought on this epidemic. So, but it's turned people, COVID's killed kindness. People aren't kind. They look at everybody like they're going to give them something. Erin was with me when I did it, and I kind of let her have it. Lots of mass shaming here. And boy, they look at you, and man, I'm telling you. Those women will say something. Those little Jezebels, they'll say something. But they've lost all their deportment. They've lost all their, and they say, you don't love people. You're not kind to people. You should wear a mask. I'm wearing my mask for you. I said, don't, lady. I'm fine. I feel pretty healthy. You don't have to wear one for me. But it's turned people into just not being friendly at all. And I'll be honest with you. A lot of times, most of the time I put my shield on when it's, most of the time I wear my shield, and I do it because I don't want to argue with people. I don't want to go to the store and pick up bread and sit and get in an argument with somebody. I don't want to do that. I don't have time for that. So I just put the shield on and I just go about my business. I don't want to sit there. I have if I didn't have my shield with me. But I don't want to sit and argue with people. But every time I go out to the street and preach, that's the first thing people ask. Where's your mask? Why aren't you guys wearing? Here's the two questions they ask us. Why aren't you guys wearing masks? And where's all the women? I love both those questions. The first one I usually say, hey, I'm feeling pretty good, and masks don't work. And then the second thing I say is, my wife's at home taking care of babies, and she's pregnant with number 7. So she, the only thing is that she's not barefoot and pregnant. She actually has shoes on because she doesn't like being barefoot. So she's, she's not barefoot and pregnant. She's got nice shoes on and she's and pregnant. But I had one lady say one time, those women in that church are kept women. Yeah, they're kept pretty well. Number one, kept by God. Number two, kept by their husbands. You can call it whatever you want to, you psychopath. See, here's the thing. Most of these people want us to apologize for serving God. Well, I'm tired of seeing God's people apologize for their stands that they take. I'm tired of God's people thinking they have to apologize and soft sell what we believe. Do you think those whores out there that walk around half naked with yoga pants on, with their cleavage hanging out, or completely dressed nude almost, or not dressed at all, do you think that they, are they soft selling their position? Were those trannies in that video the other day that I showed you, were they soft selling their position? So, but what's happened is it's made everybody enemies. COVID's killed like relationships, like even normal public decency. It's killed this normal public decency. Like people just, they can't be decent to one another. You know, they just can't be. Why? 'Cause COVID's killed it. Absolutely killed it. People can't be, they look at everybody like they're going to catch something. I remember one time being in the store at the height of this thing when everybody was going nuts. And I remember being at the store and somebody dropped something and I was going to pick it up for them. And they literally acted like I was going to give them AIDS. I'm not kidding you. They didn't even want me to pick it up for them. I'm like, this is ridiculous. People are acting dumb. One of my guys has a doctor's note because he can't even wear masks. And he's at the store and some of the people won't even get near him because they really think they're going to like die or get something. It's just, it's killed just common sense. Where people think that these like masks that they sell, these disposable masks that they give away at the grocery store or they sell, they actually believe these disposable masks are going to prevent a virus. There's no possible way those masks can be effective enough. Even Fauci admitted that. And that's where Trump slammed him yesterday in his debate. Because he's like, Fauci said in the beginning that don't even wear a mask. Don't worry about it. This thing's going to blow over. But no common sense. It's killed a lot of people's ability to go to church. A lot of people's churches, I can't tell you how many churches have literally are practicing like social distancing or shutting down. I can't tell you how many. Or they're doing like services outside. Because literally these people are scared to death. Now, I understand Pastor Hoggard's church has caught a lot. I mean, they all caught it, a bunch of them down there, and they got sick. So I get it. But they have a lot of older folks in their church. But literally, it's like you're watching all these people not go to church, and these churches that are hurting, a lot of these churches are hurting financially. Some of the, most of the churches, all the people are wearing masks, and a lot of them aren't singing. A lot of them aren't, they're not singing. They've, in California, they're locked down. Colorado churches win court reprieve from governor's COVID mandates. It's killed our government. It's killed our Constitution. COVID's actually killed our Constitution. Because the governors are not even following the Constitution. U.S. District Judge Daniel Domenico, the churches sued Colorado Governor Jared Polis in August over his COVID-related restrictions that were overly vague and applied unevenly between the churches and secular establishments. Domenico's reasons was constitutionally sound in granting the churches a temporary restraining order against Polis. The Constitution does not allow the state to tell a congregation how large it can be when comparable secular gatherings are not so limited, or to tell a congregation that its reason for wishing to remove facial coverings is less important than a restaurant's or a spa's. The First Amendment does not allow government officials, whether in the executive or judicial branch, to treat religious worship as any less critical or essential than any other human endeavor, nor does it allow the government to determine what is necessary part of a house of religious worship or exercises. What's CCTV footage? So, I mean, think about that. Here we have a government telling churches what they can do and what they can't do. Like the Constitution was totally killed. Right? Like we don't have any rights. Which the Constitution only recognizes our God-given rights. It doesn't give us rights. The Bill of Rights only recognizes them. But the point is, here you have it. You have you have this selective virus that only happens at churches, but not at Black Lives Matter rallies that hold thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. But it happens at Jewish funerals. Jewish funerals cause COVID. Yeah, Governor Whitmer. Her, there's your first problem. She's a her. She shouldn't be governor. Amen. She should be home. And a man should be doing that job. And if you don't like that, you might be a feminist Jezebel. Anyway, I just got kicked out of kindergarten because I made the... Did you know you can get kicked out of kindergarten for making the gun sign with your hand? That used to be just like the wink and the click sign. I don't know. Things have gotten weird today. But you think about it, though. And then she had these supposed death threats that I think are FBI infiltrated groups that the FBI put men in there, instigate that and get that going. And they stir up crazy people to do stuff. And then they set them up to do it. And right before they do it, then they talk them into doing it. They provide the money to do it. They provide the means to do it. And then they arrest them for it. That's called coercion. Anyway, to make her look like some kind of martyr, when all she is a crazy psycho Jezebel that wants to punish the world. She wants to punish people in there. And so what's it done? It's like killed the Constitution. Except the Supreme Court said, sorry, lady, that's not going to happen. So why are bars and restaurants treated differently than churches? COVID doesn't get to kill the First and Second Amendment. Not supposed to, anyway. Make no mistake about it, COVID kills. It's done a lot of damage. It's done a lot of damage. So it's definitely caused a lot of heartache and pain for people. It's definitely killed a lot. You know, one just has to look over the news and see the absolute damage. To the lives, the minds, and the hearts of people through all this. You know, it's very sad to see. Hundreds of Christians met at Mill Creek Park on Saturday. While COVID-19 cases continue to rise, many who attend the event were not wearing masks. People can wear a mask if they want to. This is that crazy charismatic guy holding meetings all over the place. That little devil stirring up devils. Sean Fuchs or whatever his name is. And he's getting away with it. These charismatics are. I wonder how they're getting away with that, right? Because they got devils. That's how. They got big devils. That's how they're getting away with it. But that is what they're doing. And COVID's just, it's killing our civility, our ability to have discourse with one another, pushing everything into a virtual world instead of literal touch, compassion, love for one another. That's why after about three weeks, I was like, okay, we're done. We're not doing the online thing anymore for services. Our church is not going to do that any longer. And if they do what they do against us, I guess they'll have to, but we're not doing that anymore. We're just not. Why? Because I didn't see any danger like that. And I wasn't going to bow to the state. I wasn't going to bow to the state and continue to do that. It's just like these pastors, they can't walk away from their big million-dollar buildings that they have. They can't walk away from them. Some of them are stuck with them. They can't go meet somewhere else and be like, forget the building, let's go meet somewhere else. Why? Because people won't follow them. They won't go. Their members won't do it. They won't. They won't be faithful at all. All right, guys, what do you got? Maybe you want to talk about something. I'll give you the last 15 minutes. If you have any questions about anything, let's do it. Let's talk about some things. I'll play a song here for you, and let's do that. Say hi if you haven't said hi yet, and we'll do a little open line here for the last 15 minutes before I get out of here. And, you know, if you have anything you want to say, any comments, or anything like that.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathe the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters and some blood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all.
Okay, somebody asked me, what kind of muzzle loader do you have? I actually don't have a flintlock. I have a friend that has a flintlock. Brother Paul has a flintlock. I don't have a flintlock. I actually have a Thompson Center 50 cal bone collector. Black powder rifle. That's the one I have. Praise the Lord. Chainbreak said she's been listening to old sermons for the past several days. It's really lifted my spirit. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad. Maxim Vachon, thank you. Thanks. Your messages bring a lot of clarity. Well, praise the Lord. Deborah, I sent you an email about the progressive church movement. Did you get it? I probably did, but I'd have to review it and look at it if you're waiting for a response. Sometimes I don't get to those right away. You got to remind me once in a while because I've been busy, and I'm not trying to make any excuses for that, but I just have been very, very busy. Hunting for Us starts November 7th is the first season. The last the second season starts November 27th, the day after Thanksgiving, or that might be the 28th. And that's the cold season here. Ooh-wee. My church does contact tracing, so I watch online. Yeah, I don't do contact tracing. I wouldn't know how. I don't have one of those signs on my door because I'm not a corporation. So I'm not a business. No singing in the UK churches. Wow, that's too bad.
He leadeth me, oh blessed God. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Some through the waters, and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen. Let's see what else. How about this one?
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. And my God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks may doubt, some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real and I can feel him in my heart. And my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, oh yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. I said, my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay. My Lord, he calls me. He calls me by the thunder. The trumpet sounds within my soul. I ain't got long to stay. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay here. Steal away, steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay. My Lord, he calls me by the lightning, the trumpet sound within of my soul. I ain't got long to stay. Steal away, steal away to Jesus. Steal away, steal away home. I ain't got long to stay.
All right, everybody. I hope you have a good weekend. And we're going to try to do some preaching tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon sometime. You know, so pray for us that the Lord would bless and that the Lord would guide us and direct us. Amen. And that we'd have a blessed time as we're preaching the Word of God in the open air. And, Just that he would bless this weekend as we have Sunday services and then into next week. And Lord willing, we'll have some places to preach maybe next week. We'll see how it goes. And then don't forget my schedule starting like November 7th. Let me see. I think the season starts November 7th for hunting. So, I may not be doing a broadcast the week of the 8th. I just don't know how many I'll do. I'll put it that way. Because I'm going to try to be out there hunting and try to get a deer and a few of them. I want to get a couple of them. So, you know, I'll be out there. And I probably won't be doing a lot of broadcast during that time. So I may, or I may pre-record some also. I could do that. Depends on how much time I have. But anyway, if you want to support the ministry, you could do that. You can go to our homepage here on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. And you can click the give button. And you can PayPal us to salvationpreacher@gmail.com. That's salvationpreacher@gmail.com. And you can PayPal us. And then also, you could mail it in too as well if you wanted to mail us something. Mail that to Pastor Jason Cooley, though. Don't put that in Old Paths Baptist Church's name, okay? Because putting it in Old Paths Baptist Church's name, Old Paths Baptist Church is not a legal entity. We aren't an LLC. We're not a 501c3 corporation. We're not a nonprofit organization. We're none of those things. So the property and things are held in trust. So we're more like a trust. So you could put it into Jason L. Cooley, pastor/trustee. You could do it that way too as well. That's a longer title, or you can just make it out to Pastor Cooley. Either way, it goes the same place to pay the bills and to support the ministry. All right. But anyway, try to make it out the right way because we really want to honor the way that we're organized. And that's not like a 501c3 corporation. We're not like that. We don't give tax statements to people. We don't write them, you know, giving statements or anything like that. So anyway, all right, but pray for us. We could use your prayers. We would appreciate the prayers. And anyway, have a good day, everybody. We'll talk to you, Lord willing, on